Okay, well, we've been looking at inheritance, and over the last few weeks, looking at the Joshua generation as being our inheritance. Right. Jesus died so we could inherit all that he has for us to inherit. But what is that? What did he leave for us in his will? Well, we need to look into the Word of God to be able to see what he left for us. He's given us open access to the Father. Jesus came as a door that we could enter into the Father's presence, and therefore we have access to the Father in intimacy, in relationship, and into heaven where the Father is. And Jesus secured that for us by going into heaven himself and opening up that door for us so we could inherit eternal life. And that eternal spiritual life starts immediately we're born again and continues into eternity. Jesus left us redemption, buying us back from the things of sin in the past where we've been in bondage. Reconciliation, bringing us back into relationship with the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Adoption, being brought into his family. Relationship with that family, sonship. All those things Jesus died so that we could inherit as his children. He's left us a destiny and a purpose. And he's given us his mantle of authority to outwork that purpose. Galatians 4:1 says, "Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything." And what that's basically saying is, if we remain as spiritual children, we will not be able to inherit the fullness of what God has for us because we won't be able to handle it. So we need to mature. It says, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son so that he might redeem, buy back from slavery those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So Jesus within us, within our spirit, cries, Abba, Father, Daddy. That word Abba means Daddy. And he wants our spirit to join in with that cry. He wants our spirit to be united in that same cry, in that same relationship that he had with his Father, so we can have that same relationship, intimacy. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. See, we cannot inherit unless we know our sonship and our identity as sons. And even though we may be heirs, unless we mature into sonship, we will still be like slaves. And God does not want us to be operating that way. We've been looking at the example of the children of Israel as an expression of this pattern. 1 Corinthians 10:11. These things happened to them, children of Israel, as an example. And they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Just as that prophetic word came this morning, that God is going to pour out his glory upon his people, we have to learn from the example when the glory of God has been poured out in the past, and learn how to operate and stand in glory. Because when the glory filled the temple, they could not stand to minister. So they weren't really much good, were they? They weren't able to minister and serve. But it says in Jude that he will teach us to be able to stand in glory so we can minister in that glory, in the manifest presence of God in our lives. But we're on a journey that's come from slavery to sin, illustrated by Egypt, to sonship, to a place where we know who we are as sons of God, a journey of restoration of our inheritance. Buying back everything that was lost through the fall and when Adam gave away his inheritance to Satan. Jesus came and restored that inheritance, and he wants us to experience that inheritance in our lives. And we've seen that it's the Joshua generation that inherited and went into the land, and they also enabled and equipped the next generation to take their inheritance. And God is wanting to raise up a Joshua generation and raise up another generation also who are going to inherit. Everything of our inheritance and our relationship with God comes through intimacy. It comes through knowing God experientially, personally, face to face. God does not want us to know about him in a book. However good the Bible is, it is still just words about God. And we need to encounter the living God through those words so that we can personally experience him. And everything that God wants us to give us comes through personal relationship. Joshua and Caleb experienced God and they were prepared in the wilderness. Everything they did was in the wilderness before they came into the promised land. And many of us go through wilderness experiences of transformation, where we can encounter God through that process of God bringing us into relationship, taking us from slaves to sons so that we can inherit. So that we can actually know God's love. Not know about it, not read about it, not just hear what someone else says about the love of God, but to know it, to experience it, to know that we're loved, to know the joy of God in our lives, to know the peace of God that comes through knowing him. God wants us to know his faithfulness, not just as promised is in a book, but in real testimony in our lives where we experience the faithfulness of God. So where we learn to trust God and we learn to obey him. God wants us to have relationship, and it's from that relationship everything else flows. And you cannot have real intimate relationship without spending time with a person. And if you don't spend much time with that person, then you won't know that person very well. And God is calling us to spend time with his presence, in his glory. Both here within our spirit, because the kingdom of God and the presence of God is within us, and in the realms of heaven where he's called us to go and experience him there. But it is a process. And in Zechariah 3, it's a really important chapter, Zechariah 3. It was Joshua, the high priest, the most holy man in all of Israel, probably in the whole world, in fact. And yet he was standing in heaven before God, clothed with filthy garments. And God said, put a new robe on him, put a turban on his head, cleanse him. And then the angel of the Lord, in verse 6, admonished Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, if you will perform my laws, then you will also govern my house and also have charge of my courts, and I will grant you free access among those who are standing here. And that is an invitation to come into relationship with God in which we learn to know him. And we learn to engage in the different things of heaven and earth to know him personally. We are royal priests. It's what Jesus made us. And therefore we have access to heaven, but we have to grow and mature in that access. Because we can step into heaven and have heavenly experiences. We can have experiences here in meetings and when the presence of God comes and the glory of God manifests. But we have to grow in those experiences. We cannot remain children if we're going to receive the fullness of our inheritance. So we're in a journey from slavery to sonship to receive the fullness of our inheritance. So we go from being servants to bondservants. There's a difference between someone who is enslaved as a servant or a slave by somebody else and a bondservant who had the opportunity of going free and decided, I choose to serve my master. And as a sign of that, they put them against a doorpost and they stuck an awl through their ear and gave them an earring. And that showed people that they were bondservants. They had chosen to serve their master. And all of us have the choice whether we want to serve God, our Father, and give our lives to him and surrender them to him, because he won't take them from us. It's a choice. And we can go from servants to bond servants by saying, I just want to give my whole life and surrender it to you. But we don't have to stay bond servants, because those who have made that choice to serve God and give their lives to God, God starts to give them responsibility and resources, and they become stewards. Stewards of the things that he's given us. So the more we're faithful with the little things he's given us, which may be just our lives, it may be just a smile to someone, it may be just a kind word, it may be laying hands on someone and seeing them healed, it may be a miracle. But as he gives us his resources and we use them faithfully to serve him and not ourselves, he can entrust us with more. And we can go from stewards to being friends. And the difference between a steward and a friend is a steward uses and does what the master tells him. A friend, the master is in relationship and then shares his heart with. And he shares why he's doing what he's doing. And it gives a greater responsibility and level of intimacy. And we don't have to stay friends either, because we can become lords. Those who have the power of the kingdom to outwork God's rule on the earth as it is in heaven. We don't have to stay as lords either. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. So we can become kings. Those who exercise authority in the heavens and on earth in the likeness of Jesus, who is King, that we were singing about this morning. The King of glory. The King of glory coming in. Where's he coming in? To our lives. And then he's going to come through our lives to manifest his kingdom around our lives, so that we can administer his kingdom as a king. And we don't have to stay just as kings. It's sons. Sons is the most precious, intimate place we can be with the Father. Not just doing things out of authority and being given that responsibility and authority, but because we're his sons, his children, who he entrusts to be like him. He entrusts with sonship to reflect God in heaven on earth. And that is the process that we're called into. So just let's do a few more of these Joshua generation characteristics. Remember, these characteristics are the characteristics of sons of God, not slaves. Number 14, the Joshua generation will be filled with the spirit of wisdom. Deuteronomy 34:9. Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, and the sons of Israel listened to him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. So wisdom wasn't just something that was picked up through life. Wisdom was imparted by the spirit of wisdom. And Moses laid hands on Joshua and imparted something from the outside. So wisdom comes from an outside impartation, and we need to engage with the spirit of wisdom. Galatians 4:1 says, as we read earlier, "Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything, but he is under guardians and tutors." Now those guardians and tutors are there to equip God's people in sonship, to explain what it is to be a son, to teach us what it is to have an understanding of the Father's heart. Isaiah 11:2 talks about the seven spirits of God. First one is the Spirit of the Lord that will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of strength, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Seven spirits that we are to engage with to teach us, to be our guardians and tutors, so that we can come into intimacy with God and know who we are as his children, but also to know him. And those spirits are heavenly creatures. Revelation 1:4, "Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits of God who are before his throne." Seven spirits of God are not on his throne. They're not the Holy Spirit. They are spirits, creatures that have been created to bring God's people into sonship. So they have an understanding, a deep intimacy of the ways of God, of who he is, wisdom, counsel, might, all those things. So we need the spirit of wisdom. And it says from Jesus also, "The faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has released us from our sins by his blood, he has made us to be a kingdom and priests to his God." Priests can access the holy things of God. but we need training and tutoring, and we need to engage with the spirits of God. The seven spirits of God are going to start engaging with us much more in the future. Number 15, the Joshua generation will meditate on God's word day and night. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written within it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Meditation is probably the most important thing when we look to have an intimate relationship with God. When I learned to meditate, it was the biggest single most change in my relationship with God. After being baptized in the Spirit, that was the second most important experience I'd ever had, was learning to meditate in the Word. Because I read the Word, I had revelation of the Word, I used to teach the Word, but actually I never really engaged with the Word. See, the Word is a doorway to experience with the person that the Word describes, with the stories that the Word tells, in relationship. So the Word of God is there to enable us to engage it and to engage with the person of the living Word. So when we meditate, we focus our spirit and our mind and imagination on the living Word, and it becomes alive to us and we can experience it in first person. See, I used to be very logical, left-brained and analytical, but I taught myself through meditating on the Word to be more creative. And now there's a balance in my life that I can meditate and the Word of God becomes alive. And later on we may do an exercise around that. Number 16, Joshua generation will be obedient to God's directions. It's no point God speaking to us if we don't listen and then put into place what he says. Joshua 1:7, be strong, very courageous, be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Who wants success wherever they go? It's a no-brainer, isn't it? Everyone wants success. And if we can have success wherever we go, here's the promise. Just be careful to do everything that God says. Because when we do that, we acknowledge God knows more than we do. His knowledge is greater than ours. And if we submit to it, it will produce success. So that frees us up to having to try and think and work out what we should do with our lives. We just have to surrender to the will and the purpose of God. Number 17, here it is. Joshua generation will be prosperous and successful. Prosperity is not just money. It's succeeding to the highest level that God intends. To be successful in his purposes for our lives. You know, you could be the most successful person in the world. You could be a Bill Gates and I'd be a billionaire. And yet, you can end up in eternity in hell. If you don't know God. Success in earthly terms is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about fulfilling our destiny and his will for our lives, which will bring us the fulfillment and bring us eternity to be able to outwork that responsibility. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Be careful to do according to all that's written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have success. There's a process. Meditate, obey, and outwork. So the word has to be living and active for us to obey it. We're not talking about legalism out of fear or out of bondage. We're talking about out of relationship. That we know the heart of God for us. That we know God's will and purpose for us. And we're willing to outwork that in our lives. Number 18, the Joshua generation will know that they walk with God. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Now, guess what they were going to do when they went into the promised land? Fight. So they may well have actually thought they were weak. They may well have actually been afraid in a natural sense. But it says, do not tremble and do not be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We need to know the presence of God with us wherever we go. Whatever we're doing, we need to be conscious of his presence, conscious of his strength, conscious of his protection, conscious of his provision, conscious of his blessing, conscious that actually we can hear his voice and be guided and directed every minute of every day of our lives so that we can fulfill his purpose. So we don't need to be afraid. But actually, the world will be afraid. When the presence of God starts to shake this world's systems, they will be afraid. They will be running around fearful of all the things that are going to take place in the future. God is calling us not to be that way, because we know God is with us. When the financial system collapses, we can be strong. When other systems of the world start to shake and fall, we can be strong, because we know God's with us. We know God's presence. We know that his glory is in us and is flowing through us, and therefore we can shine. Isaiah chapter 60, what does it say? Arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. God's glory wants to manifest on the earth through his people, so that we can be strong and we can be courageous. We don't need to fear what's coming, because we will be above it. So we can walk in his ways here on earth. We can walk in his ways in the heavens. And we can live above the natural circumstances, no matter what they are. No matter if they will bring fear to all the rest of the world, God promises to be with us. And if he's with us, it says, who shall be against us? Who can separate us from the love of God? Nothing, if we know that is true in our own lives and in our own hearts. If we know it by personal experience and encounter. Because it will be our personal testimony. And when it's our personal testimony, we can see that testimony at work time and time and time again in our lives. So let's be those who walk with the Lord and to know him. Number 19. The Joshua generation will be equipped to prepare provisions and live by faith. Joshua 1:11. Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you're going to cross this Jordan. You're going to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess it. Now, that can be natural provisions that God gives us the power to make. And God can give us insight and wisdom. He can give us skills and entrepreneurship. He can give us enterprise abilities to make money and to provide for us, whether it's actually through physical money or not. He can give us that ability, because we are going to need to live when the world is struggling to live. But he can also do it supernaturally, because when you look at Jesus' life, Jesus did supernatural miracles of abundance. He multiplied bread and fish several times. He found for provision and finance in a fish's mouth. He was able to do supernatural things of protection and provision, and he has called us to do the same things. So he gives us the power to make natural wealth, but he also gives us supernatural abilities. So we can live by faith. We can live by faith of the Son of God. It's his faith that we can live by. Are you ready to be part of the Joshua generation? And that's a question for some of you. Another question, are you ready to be equipped by the Joshua generation to be the generation that sees Jesus return? I want to encourage you, don't be part of the Moses generation. Even though Moses did mighty miracles, through disobedience he did not enter into the promised land. Don't miss your inheritance. Because God wants us, through relationship, to experience the fullness of everything that he has for us. Now, I want to finish there, but I want to finish with a little exercise that we learn to engage the Word of God and we learn to encounter God through His Word. So I want to encourage you just to close your eyes. Just relax. We're going to do a little exercise around the prodigal son and the loving father. Most people know the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son took his inheritance from the father and went off into the world and wasted it. And then he got to a point where he was pretty miserable. He'd realized what a mistake he'd made, but he felt bad. I want you to think right now about the worst thing that you have ever done in your life. The thing that made you feel the most guilty. You may never have told anyone about that. You may never even admitted it to yourself. You may never have asked forgiveness for it. But as you think about that thing that you did, and your head is bowed in shame, what you're doing is looking back into your past. Now I want you to, in your mind's eye, turn away from your past. The Bible calls it repenting. And I want you to look up and see Father God. And He's waiting in front of you for you to return to Him. He's always waiting in front of you for you to return to Him. He's smiling and His arms are wide open to welcome you into His presence. I want you to walk into His arms. And as He wraps His arms around you, feel His embrace. Feel the forgiveness that He has for you, for that thing that you were thinking about. Feel that now His love has forgiven you. His grace and mercy is showered down upon you. He's accepted you in spite of your past and all the things that you've done. He loves you and has welcomed you into His love. Now He lifts off your shoulders the baggage that you've been carrying, the burdens that have weighed you down and have worn you out. He lifts them off, and a lightness and a joy comes to your spirit. He removes all the dirty clothes of your past, and He gives you new white spotless robes of righteousness. He places a ring on your finger, a ring of authority and sonship. And He starts to speak lovingly to you. Just let your spirit receive the words of the Father as He speaks to your heart. I declare that you are no longer a slave or an orphan or a victim. I declare that you are no longer guilty. You are forgiven. I declare that you are mine and I am yours. I declare that I am your inheritance and you are my inheritance. I bless your spirit with the spirit of sonship and the mindset of sonship. I bless you with a deep heart identity as my very own child, securely loved in my family. My spirit testifies to your spirit that you are my child. Receive your adoption into my family. Receive your forgiveness. Receive your cleansing. Receive your righteousness. Receive your identity. My spirit testifies to your spirit that you are my child. Receive your acceptance and affirmation. Receive your adoption rights. Receive your birthright. Receive your blessing. Receive my love, my joy, and my peace. Receive my supernatural authority the power of sonship. You are my children, and I call you to be displayed as mature sons and daughters on the earth. I call forth your spiritual identity as a son and daughter of God. I call forth your eternal destiny to bring glory to God. I call forth your divine purpose to restore creation back to its original condition. You are my children. I am your father. Receive my love. I welcome you. I love you. Receive that love. Feel that love within the fiber of your being. Because my love is pure love. Nothing you can do, nothing you have done, can separate you from my love. Surrender your life to my love today and receive my blessing upon you. Amen. I want to encourage you, you can do that type of exercise yourself every day. You can take a passage of scripture, you can take that scripture. Maybe you need to walk through some things in your life that you struggle with, and you take them to the Father. You see, Adam and Eve ran and hid in the bushes and tried to cover up with fig leaves. God wants us to run to him and receive his love as our inheritance as his children. Amen?